All right, so we are holding on Yud Amud Aleph about 10 lines or so from the top, line against Lokish. Lokish Tzuchi. Yeah, 10, 11 lines from the top. Okay, we learned a machloikus between Rav Yechon and Rish Lokish. If a person did one of the avodas l'shma, but having in mind, for example, the shchita, but he has in mind that later on when he does the zrika, he plans to do that shalei l'shma. So we said Rav Yechonin says the korban will be posel, Rish Lokish says it will be kosher. If such a thing happened with pigul, we said everybody would agree it's posel, that's how pigul works. Rav Yechonin holds the same thing applies as far as shalei l'shma, Rish Lokish disagrees, and we mentioned also a related machlokas where they have a similar argument where you're shechting chulin, not a korban, you're shechting it outside of this mikdash as a normal chulin animal, but you have in mind during the shechita that later on there's going to be zrika done, l'shem of a dezara. Does it become aser as tikurevus of a dezara or not?
That we haven't reviewed.
So we said that's the same machloikas. Rabbi Yechonin says that machashu ma'avoid la'avoid, the machshava that he has during shechita of what's going to happen later on during the zrika will make it possible. Rish Lakish disagrees.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. What happened? You do the shkita. At the time of the shkita, you have a thoughts about doing the zrika of a dezara.
Yeah.
And then at the time of a dezara, you don't have these thoughts.
Okay, so Tosfos brings the point that Rish Lakish will agree that he's chayav misa for what he did. However, Tosfos asks, why should that be? L'chora, what if he changes his mind and decides not to do the zrika of a dezara? So Tosfos says, since we see that he did a maisa, if he had just said something like we learned from Sanhedrin, he says Eilich Be'evod, for example, that wouldn't be enough necessarily Mechayev and Misa, because he could change his mind. Here, where he already did a maisa that he shechted Amanath Lizrik, yeah. And second of all, that's enough to make him Chayev Misa because he actually did a maisa. No, because the point is he did a maisa, and therefore we have very little reason to think that he's going to change his mind. Second of all, Tosfos
says the maisa by itself doesn't mean anything.
We said that, but here is a maisa where he has machshava in line later, so those two things are enough, Tosfos said. Also, Tosfos then goes on to say, even if we knew for sure, somehow or other, that he's not going to end up sprinkling it in honor of Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, the fact that he does the shchita amanas lizrik is enough to make him chayav misa for that alone. Even though the shchita itself, he's not doing it as an act of worship, still, the fact that he has in mind zrika of Avodah Zarah is enough to make it considered enough of an act of worship that even according to Rish Lakish, fine, we won't say that the shchita itself is also won't be considered yet that the shech of the shame of Avodah Zarah, but it will be enough to be mechayev him missed. That's what Tosfos says.
But the question is, if he does the shchita to a kadosh baruch hu, and then a kadosh baruch hu,
well, when you do shchita,
zrika,
yeah,
to Avodah Zarah,
that's fine, but that's what we're talking about.
The shchita is kosher.
That's where Rish Lakish holds the shchita is kosher, Rav Yechonin holds that not. If during the shchita he didn't have anything in particular in mind, and then later on, now that he has a basin of blood in front of him, he decides, you know what, I'm going to sprinkle this for Avodah Zarah, of course, even Rav Yechonin would agree that it's kosher. That's kosher because he had no machshava at the time of zirka. The question is, here he has machshava at the time of shchita that he plans to use zirka l'shem Avodah Zarah. So Rav Yechonin says, that's enough to pass, that's enough to make it osur at the kerevus of Avodah Zarah, and Rish Lakish disagrees.
Yeah, I understand. But what about Rabbi Yochanan didn't give an opinion about whether or not he changes his mind to
Zrika? Doesn't matter. The fact that he had such a thought during Shchita, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is enough to make an altar as to Krovus of a desire. So. Yes. Okay. The author of Dimi Omar.
They're connected, right.
He also Rav Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Mosiv Rav Yumi Yelasayuri L'Rav Yechonon, Rav Yumi pointed out a logical thing. Now, usually the word Mosiv means he brought up a kasha. Here it's not going to be a kasha. He was going to be bringing a logical proof to the Sayuri to support Rav Yechonon. But Rav Ila, on the other hand, Rav Ila brought a logical proof to the Sayuri L'Rish Lakish to support Rish Lakish's position. No, so you have different logics that you can use for one or the other. Obviously, Rav Yechonin and Rish Lakish have to have their own logic. So we're going to see how we work that. Rav Yumi, let's say you're a little Yechonin. Rav Yumi brought the following argument in support of Rav Yechonin. He says like this. Let's consider the case. The Mokim Shem shows, let's make a Kavachon. In a case where a person says, I'm shechting chutz l'zmanoi, namely, in other words, he only has on the shchita itself, he has an idea that it's going to be chutz l'zmanoi, that's going to be outside of the proper time. Now, such a thing is not considered kibble. First of all, because first of all, because it's obviously untrue, because he's obviously shechting in the proper time. So therefore, it's a blatant untruth. You can't consider that to be a machshavas kibble. Besides which, also, so this would be similar to
the shechting.
At the time he's shechting, he has in mind that the shechita itself is going to be chutz l'zman. So obviously it's not. Obviously it's b'zman. So therefore, it's similar to Shimon's position that we said before, that we said yesterday about minachos, where you have one type of mincha is broad as if it was a different type, where it's blatantly untrue. So this is a similar thing. This is blatantly untrue. Number two, anyway, the definition of pigle involves whether the achilas adam or achilas mizbeach, where you're having in mind that a person or the mizbeach is going to consume some or another part of the carbon outside of the proper time. Here, you're only having in mind the shita. So such a thing is not considered pigle. Shehu kosher. Such a carbon would be kosher, points out Rabbi Yehuda. Well then, and yet, shachta, I'm
not agreeing to...
No, according to everybody. If you say, Hareini Sheikha Chutz L'Zman, you're saying about the shchita itself, without reference to any other avodah, I'm doing the shchita,
no,
I'm announced that it should be Chutz L'Zman. Doesn't work. It's not Chutz L'Zman, yeah. And then it has nothing to do with people. So shahu kosher. So such a thing is kosher. Number one, it's an impossibility. And number two, that's not the definition of pickle. And yet, shachse amanas lizur damish l'chutz l'zmanay. But if you shech having in mind that the zrika is going to take place chutz l'zmanay, then it's possible. Then it's actually not just possible, it's pickle, actually. Well then, let's make a kabachayma. Shachse amanas lizur damish l'zmanay. So now, if you shech it having in mind that the zrika... Well then, let's apply that to Shalo Lishmai. In a case involving Shalo Lishmai, where you say, I'm shechting Shalo Lishmai, and we know that's possible because in each of the four avodas is independent when it comes to Shalo Lishmai. Well, then he was shechted, having in mind that the zrika is going to be Shalo Lishmai. Ain't a din, shehe possible. Shouldn't it be a kabachomer? That is possible. You find when it comes to pigle that shechting, having in mind chutzpah's mana, isn't effective. But shechting, the shechting, having in mind chutzpah's mana, isn't effective as far as making it pigle, as far as making it possible. But shechting, having in mind that the zrika will be chutzpah's mana, is effective in making it pigle. Well, then, when it comes to shchita, shalai l'shma, which in and of itself makes it possible, how much more so that shchita, having in mind that the zrika will be shalai l'shma, should make it possible, which is Rabbi Yochanan's position. So based on that, we have a logical...
If the shchita makes it possible...
Shalai l'shma makes it possible, if shchita shalai l'shma makes it possible, unlike shchita chutz l'zmano doesn't make it possible, how much more so then that if shchita, having in mind zrika chutz l'zmano makes it possible, then how much more so shchita, having in mind zrika shalai l'shma, should make it possible?
Shchita should make it possible.
Just as all the more so as we find again. Okay, you have four possible scenarios, right? I'm going to break it down. These are two, which are four, really.
Okay.
So you have scenario number one of the person shechts, having in mind that it'll be chutz l'zman. Number two, he shechts, having in mind that the zrika will be chutz l'zman. Number three, we have he shechts it shalai l'shma. Number four, we're saying he shechts it, having in mind that the zrika will be shalai l'shma. So the argument goes as follows. Case number one, we're saying, is ineffective. But case number two, shchita itself can't be chutz l'zman. It's irrelevant. But shchita, having in mind that the zrika will be chutz l'zman, is effective and makes it pigle. Case number three, where shchita is done shalai l'shma, makes it possible. How much more so then that it should be able to make it possible, whether the machshava was for the shchita itself or regarding the zrika. So therefore, based on that tavachomer, you have Rabbi Yochanan's position that if you have in mind, if you do the shchita, having in mind that the zrika will be shalai l'shma, then it's possible.
But didn't we have a principle that Rabbi Yochanan established that Masherim, they depend on...
Mechashim and Avodah L'Avodah, exactly.
So we don't need the Kalachim.
No, but we're
if one
fine.
Is one is not good?
Okay, hold on. Rabbi Yochanan had said, the reason why I say Mechashim and Avodah L'Avodah is because I'm learning from Pigle. Rish Lakish is arguing you can't Pigle as a special case. But
okay,
what we're saying over here, what we're saying over here... we're saying that now we have this Kal v'Chomer strengthen Rabbi Yochanan's position. That we see that in a way chutzlus manoi shalor l'shma is even more stringent than chutzlus manoi, because chutzlus manoi you need to have a machshava that the zrika or the burning of the fat or the eating of the person is going to be chutzlus manoi in order to make a table. By shalor l'shma you don't need any such thing. Just having in mind that the shchita alone is shalor l'shma is enough to cancel it. So all the more so, you're right, we don't need it, but we don't need it, but we have it as a thing. To strengthen Rabbi Yochanan's position. That's we're not bringing it as an absolute. We're not bringing it as Rabbi Yochanan's source. We're saying we have that as a logical proof for Rabbi Yochanan's position. However,
I question the need for that.
Yeah, what do you mean? What's the need? Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan had his position. He brought a proof for it from Pigul. The Shlokish wants to disagree with that. So now we're saying, but you know what?
Based on the fact that we established one is dependent on the other.
But only with Pigul. Only with Pigul. How do we know that it depends on one?
Okay.
Everybody disagrees. Everybody agrees it applies to Pigul. That's the question. But now we're going to prove. From Pigul itself, you can prove that it applies to Shalom Shema. However, Maskif la Rava Bar Ahilai, asks on that, how can you prove such a thing, Malachot Lizmanai Shaken Kores? How can you prove anything from Chot Lizmanai, from Pigul? Because there it involves Kores. If you eat Pigul, even right away, it's Kores. So therefore, you could argue Pigul is strong enough to apply Me'avoida La'avoida, to apply from one Avoida to another. So it's not a thing. You break apart the Kavasai. You're breaking apart the Kavasai, Ela Omer Rava Bar Ahilai Hachachomer. So no, Rava Bar Ahilai says we can still fix up the Kal v'Chomer and do it as follows. Right. No, that's just the carbon is possible. That's all. The carbon is possible. If you permit, maybe at most it's allowed. Since the Zrika Shalosh Shema, same thing.
No carbon.
Yeah. Ela Omer Rava Bar Ahilai Hachachomer. No, the argument can be made as follows. Let's consider you can have a case besides the chutzlus manai, which makes it pigul. You also have another type of machshava which makes a kohen possible, namely chutzlus mekoymai, where you have in mind that some one or another of the avodas is going to be done outside the azar.
Before
we're talking about this manai, now we're going to talk about mekoymai. Now the difference is manai is pigul, you're chayav koreis for it. Chutzlus mekoymai is only possible, you're not chayav koreis for it. So now we can make a kal v'chomer without reference to anything that involves koreis. That's what we're going to figure out. In a case where you say, I'm shechting chutzlum koimoi, then it's kosher, because again, it's not true, he's shechting right there, and again, because chutzlum koimoi also depends on that you have in mind something that involves eating, or burning, or sprinkling, not the shchita itself. And yet, shechted amanat lizrik dami chutzlum koimei also. But if you shechted having in mind that later on the zrika is going to take place chutzlum koimei outside the bismikdash, then shu possible. So then the korban is possible. Well then, let's make a kal v'chomer mokem sheimama arnin shechet shalei l'shmei shu possible. Well then, in a case of shalei l'shmei, where just the shchita itself shalei l'shmei makes it possible. Shechted amanat lizrik dami shalei l'shmei. Well, if you shechted having in mind that the zrika should take place shalei l'shmei. Shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that it'll be possible? Similar to the kal v'chomer before, except instead of having to bring in pigul, which fine, you can argue pigul is a special case because chayav koreis. Instead, we'll make the kal v'chomer on the basis of chutzlus man, of chutzlus mekoymai, which is not chayav koreis, which only makes it possible, only makes it an issur lav, just like the other. So then, good.
Does Rav Ilai accept?
Rav Bar Ahilai, yeah.
Rav Bar Ahilai, accept the principle of Rabbi Yochanan.
We're trying to figure out. We're trying to bring a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. So it doesn't matter whether he personally holds like Rabbi Yochanan or not. He's trying to fix up the Kal v'Chomer that you can use it as a proof for Rabbi Yochanan, that you can use it to support Rabbi Yochanan. However, Rav Ashi still asks on that. Malachot l'mekoymei shekein noyeg b'chol hazvachim. But how can you compare? If you have in mind that's going to be that some of the avodas are going to be done outside the azara, that applies to all korbanos, and therefore it's stronger. How can you compare? Shalom Shemoy only applies, only makes the korban possible in the case of Pesach and Chatas. With all the other korbanos, as we said in our Mishnah, that any other korban, Shalom Shemoy, you do any of the avodas Shalom Shemoy, even you do all four of them Shalom Shemoy, it's kosher. So it's not all over by one.
Just
only the Pesach and Chatas. Okay, point of the Ezra Asham, as we're going to get to, but fine. The point is it doesn't apply across the board to all the korbanos. Whereas if you have in mind during the Shchita that you're going to be doing the Zrika Chutzlum Koymai outside the Azara, then it doesn't matter. Ola, Chatas, whatever it is, it's always possible. So what kind of a Kal v'Chomer is that? Ela, Rav Ashi, Hachachomer. So note, Rav Ashi says we have to fix up the Kal v'Chomer further. Let's try like this. Let's try Shinui Bayer. In a case where a person says, I'm shechting this on behalf of Pliny, then the korban is kosher. Because, as Rashi had mentioned before, a few blocks ago, when do we say that Shinui Bailim passels it, learns Rashi, only if during the shechita you had in mind that the zrika is going to be done for the sake of somebody else. If you had in mind just that the shechita is being done for Shimon when the korban was being brought by Reuben, according to Rashi, that has no effect. Now, the Rambam learned differently. We said the Rambam learned that regardless, each one of them acts independently. So you have to figure out what the Rambam would do with our Gemara over here. So the Chofetz Chaim mentioned in his...
Interesting. The Rambam says they act independently, coming back to Rabbi Yochanan's principle, that they're all connected.
No. Definitely there's the concept of Chash from Avodah L'Avodah, but what the Rambam is saying is you don't need, in order for Shinui Bailim to pass all that Rambam learned, you don't necessarily need, like Rashi says, that the Shchita has to be done, Al-Manas, that the Zrika will be done L'Shem, somebody else. Even if you did the shechita by itself, having in mind that it will be for Shimon instead of for Reuben, that's already enough to pass all the korban. Or rather, to make it that you're not Yotze in the case of
Moshe.
You don't need, according to the Rambam, you don't need to be even thinking about the Zrika at all. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a different scenario, where you didn't have anything in mind during the shechita itself. Well, what you had in mind had nothing to do with the shechita, had to do with the Zrika. Right. So, but anyway.
I think that also is not logical, because if you don't have anything in mind,
having in mind what's going to take place during the Zrika. You're having in mind what something wrong that's going to be taking place during the Zrika. That's going to be Shalom L'Shmoy, or Shalom L'Shem Bailim, or what have you.
Right.
So, again, the Rambam holds, unlike Rashi, that even if during the Shchita itself you're not b'chlal thinking about the Zrika, you think you focus only on the Shchita, but you're doing the Shchita L'Shem Shimon rather than L'Shem Reuben, it'll be possible. So now, what is he going to do with our Gemara over here, which seems to clearly be saying that it only applies if you do the shchita having in mind the zrika, because we're using it for the Kavach HaYomer over here. So the Chofetz Chaim explains in his Pirush on Zvachim, I mentioned the other day that the Chofetz Chaim is big on the whole, was shturmed about the idea of loading kodshim to prepare for when Mashiach comes. So he wrote a Pirush on Zvachim called Zevach Toida. So he explains that even the Rambam might distinguish between whether you're explicitly saying I'm doing it l'shem pliny, or whether you're explicitly saying I'm doing the shchita having in mind l'shem that whether you're doing the shchita having in mind explicitly I'm doing the shchita l'shem shimon, or whether you're doing it stam and having in mind only what's going to happen later on during the zrika. That Rambam himself might accept such a distinction. That it depends whether during the shchita itself are you specifically having in mind the other person, or are you just doing a stunt? Okay. Anyway, the point is,
if
you're doing it specifically for the other person, you have in mind during the shchita, I'm doing this l'shem Shimon or l'shem instead of l'shem Reuben, the Rambam would hold that taka makes it possible.
And that's
what we're using in the Kavach HaYomer.
Right.
Okay. So. If you say, I'm shechting having in mind Pliny. So again, according to the Rambam, wouldn't literally mean I'm having in mind Pliny. It just means that he has in mind later on. It means that he's not having anybody particular in mind. Shul kosher. But Lizrev Domo Shalashmo, we take out. L'shem Pliny possible. But if you shech having in mind that the Zrika is eventually going to take place in the name of Pliny, then it's possible on the ground of a different Pliny. Whatever. The point is, it's Shunei Bailim. Well then, mokim shim amah harini sheichet shalod l'shman shul posel. Well then, in a case where we say that if you shech the korban shalod l'shma, and then it becomes posel independently of what you had in mind having to do with the zrika, shochdam anaf lizrik dama shalod l'shman. Well, if you shech it, having in mind that during the shchita itself, the shchita itself will be l'shman, but the zrika is going to be shalod l'shman. Ain't it din shiyeh posel? How much more so it should be posel? Now that applies across the board to all korbanos. The Shinui Bailim applies equally well to all korbanos. You don't have like the four Shinui Hashem that applies only to Pesach and Sabbath.
If you say...
So if, when it comes to Shinui Bailim within the Shchita itself has no effect, but Shinui Bailim having in mind during the Shchita to the Zrika has an effect, well then, Shinui Kodesh having in mind a different name is possible by the Shchita itself without even reference to any other Avodah, how much more so that'll work? May Avodah l'Avodah, like Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So that's a logical thing that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. Okay. Rabbi Ila l'siyui l'Rish Lakish. On the other hand, Rabbi Ila brought a logical argument to support Rish Lakish's position, namely as follows. He says, when we go back
what
to...
What do they do with all these things in favor of Rabbi Yochanan?
You mean what would Rish Lakish do with him? He doesn't say. He would say, okay. He would say, okay, it's a very nice argument, but it doesn't mean, okay, so it's a logical argument. Fine, but you can always find some way to slug up a Kabbalah Chaimer. A Kabbalah Chaimer doesn't necessarily prove that, yeah, okay. Okay. So Rav Ila points out a logical thing to support Rish Lakish, namely, when we talked about before the whole question of which avodas the shloilish may passel by, and we went through in detail how it applies to each of the four individual avodas. So you can ask, going back to that discussion, loy toma v'zrika, on the face of it, maybe the Torah should not have to mention the concept of shloilish shma when it comes to zrika. On the face of it, you should be able to make a kavachomer using a mamatzinu between shchita and kabbalah. You do as follows, Rashi says. Shchita is kosher, which is done by a zor, and yet it's possible to shlo lishma. Zrika, which is possible if a zor does it, only a kohen can do it, how much more so? So you're going to ask shchita possible by the kohen case. That's if you do the shchita shlo lishma oichlin, not having in mind the right people who are going to eat it, you'll answer up who from kabbalah. You're going to say Kabbalah has to, so by putting together Shchita and Kabbalah, you can make a Kabbalah that Zrika should have to be
Shchita. Can be done by
Shchita can be done by a Zor.
But it's possible to Shlishma.
But it's possible to Shlishma. So how much more so? So you should argue how much more so is Zrika, which can't even be done by a Zor. So you're going to argue Shchita has an extra stringency to it, in that we see by the Korban Pesach it passes it, if you do it with having in mind people who can't eat the carbon Pesach. So you'll answer, I'll prove from Kabbalah. So on the face of it, you should be able to learn Zrika from those. Lamai Hilchsa Kasa Rahmana. Lamai Hilchsa Kasa Rahmana. So why did the Pasuk specifically spell out and say that Shalom Lishma is possible by Zrika? That must be Loima De'en Mechashrim Na'avoda La'avoda. It must be teaching us this concept that Rish Lakish is saying, that Ein Mechashrim Na'avoda La'avoda, it has to be, when does Shalom Lishma possible? Only if you had it in mind during the actual Zrika. Not if you had it in mind during some other Avoda that you're going to eventually say. Otherwise, it didn't have to say it by Zrika, right?
It's like it's just insulate the Zrika shows
that
they're not connected.
Yeah. Okay. So that
makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's also a Kavachaymer.
Well, yeah. Okay. It's a different Kavachaymer. Fine. Okay. Master for a Papa. So a Papa asks, fine, but how do you know that that's why the Pasuk is singling out Zrika? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe the Torah is specifically mentioning Zrika to tell us that you shouldn't, just the opposite. You shouldn't think that Zrika by itself needs the Machshava, and if you had it during any other Avodah, then it won't affect the Zrika. No, maybe even if you didn't have it in mind, maybe the Zrika is strong enough that you have it in mind even during a different Avodah, even during Shita, then it has an effect. Maybe that's what the Pasuk means. Okay, the answer is imkeim lishtik kromine. Fine, but if that's what it meant, if the Torah wanted to tell us that machashim avoda la'avoda, then
by mentioning
zrika, lishtik kromine, instead the pasuk could have done it differently. It could have not mentioned anything about zrika at all. V'teisim the kavachomer the Ravashi, and we would learn using the kavachomer of Ravashi, the same kavachomer that we just used before in support of Rav Yochanan. That we said, where we learned from Shinui Bailim to Shinui Kodesh, we could have used the same thing if in fact the Torah wanted to tell us that Machashon Avoda La'avoda, we could have used that exact same Kavachomer, and we still wouldn't need it to say explicitly by Zrika. So the fact that it says it explicitly by Zrika means not like Rav Papa is arguing that it means Machashon Avoda La'avoda, just the opposite. Like Rav Ila is saying, it must mean that it's teaching us that in Machashon Avoda La'avoda, only if the Machshava takes place during the Zrika itself is it going to be possible. Not otherwise. Because otherwise the Torah could have left it to be learned by this Kavachomer that Rav Ashi brought before from Shinui Bailim.
But you could say, conversely, that instead of learning by Kavachomer, the Torah wants us to know it the Firush.
Yeah, sometimes you find such a thing, Milsada. Sometimes you find such a thing. The Gemara will sometimes say, Milsada after the Kavachomer, Torah because of Lakrol. Sometimes you'll have that. The Gemara will say that something that you could have learned from a Kavachomer, the Pasuk still writes it explicitly. But we don't do it. We don't do that unless we have no other alternative, basically. Here we have an alternative. The alternative is to assume the Pasuk is telling us to teach us this concept of Ein Machashim Avoda La'avoda. So therefore, that's the Rish Lakish can use that. Okay, the Idach, however, we still have to ask, what is Rabbi Yechanan going to do with that? So the Gemara didn't bother asking what Rish Lakish is going to do with proof for Rabbi Yechanan. The fact is, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan anyway. What, I don't know why not, but the Pashtus, the reason is, because since the halacha is not like Rish Lakish anyway, the Gemara wasn't so concerned. Okay, so Rish Lakish can be slugged up even that kind of
thing.
The halacha isn't going to be like Rosh Lakish anyway. The halacha is like Rosh Lakish in only three cases in Shas, and this is one of them. If we had a proof, but we didn't bother.
Well,
okay,
we would have had a proof.
No, it's a
Gemara. Okay,
taken that's
the topic.
Okay, maybe. The idach. So what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, yes, but you could slug up that kavachayim. Therefore, you need the pasuk because you could argue, as we did when we learned back on Daf Dalet, the whole concept where we see that each of the four avodas is possible with Dan Shalai Lishman. We said over there. Yes, but how can you compare Shchita and Kabbalah with certain Karbonis? Both have to be done on the north side of the Adara. V'yeshen and v'chatzaris ha'pnimiyas, and they apply equally to all Karbonis, to all animal Karbonis, including Shchita and Kabbalah, as opposed to Halacha and Zricha, which do not necessarily, because v'chatzaris ha'pnimiyas, Halacha and Zricha don't necessarily take place on the north side of the Azara. Halacha, you could be walking over to the south side. In fact, if you're going up, if it's a chatzas, necessarily you are, because the ramp of the Mizbeach is on the south side. You're taking the Mizrach full of blood and walking over to the south side of the Azara and climbing up the, and then walking up the ramp and then walking around all of our Kevish upon the Savior, as we say every day in davening, as we'll have later on the Zephyr. So then, of necessity, that's for a Chafah.
You walk down south.
So even though you start out in the north, you shechted on the north side, but afterwards you have to walk to the south side to bring it up to the Mizbeach. And, of course, Zricha takes place on all four sides, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. So, again, you're doing it not all in the north. And when it comes to Hatzaris HaPnimi, it's
northeast, northwest, northwest.
Whatever. I'm not saying the exact south. Order. What are we saying? What are we saying? Davening. Yeah, whatever. The point is both north and south, both east and west, all four corners. And when it comes to Hatzaris HaPnimi, when it comes to the kind where the blood is brought into the Heichel for Kapara, the power of the story of Yom Kippur, the Parahel of Dovah Shal Tzibur, the power of Kohen Mashiach, whatever, all of those, then there's no, the halacha is not relevant at all. I mean, you need to bring it into the heichal, but I don't know if that's specifically considered halacha. It certainly doesn't take place on the north side, because you just walk into the heichal. You don't have zrika, is a whole different thing. You have applications of blood in front of parechas and the mezbeah hazav or whatever, but it's a different kind of zrika. As opposed to, again, shchita and kapala apply to all such korbanos. All korbanos have to be shechted. All korbanos of animals, that is, have to be shechted. All of them, the blood has to be caught in a mizra. All of them kibble daman b'chli shares. So those two. So you could argue again, and that's what we did before. That's valid when we tried to use such a kavachomer. That's how we slogged it up. Because we said that zrika is different than the other two. Zrika is maybe more lenient because you don't have it. It doesn't have to be in the north, and it doesn't happen by chataris habnimis. So therefore, by the same logic over here, you couldn't necessarily learn zrika by a man by.
How could it be in the north if it has to be done?
That's the point. Zrika is not necessarily in the north. As opposed to shchita of kosher kosher has to be done in the north. Kabbalah also has to be done in the north. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that even, for example, you have the animal of, let's say, standing right by the border between the north and south halves of the Azara. So let's say, for example, the animal is standing here. You shecht it on the north side. But then you reach over. You have the basin over here on the south side, and the blood is puzzled. Both the Shchita and the Kabbalah have to be on the north side.
It's very close to each other.
Well, you have a certain dividing point. You have the whole width of the Azara. One half of it is the north, one half of it is the south. You have a dividing line over there, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, this is why they have the ring, in order to put the animal's head or its feet or whatever in it, in order to keep it still during the Shchita. But yeah. Okay. Anyway. So the point is, so you're trying to make a Kavach Omer in support of Rish Lakish to say that you don't need the Torah to tell you that Zrika has to be Lashman because you can learn it by a Mamathinu, by a Mahasad, you can learn it by Sadashava from Shchita and Kabbalah, but Shchita and Kabbalah have their own Chomer over Zrika, so therefore that doesn't work. Therefore we can't learn like that. Yeah. Therefore, necessarily, we need an extra pasuk. If we have an extra pasuk, we don't have anything to teach us. That if we have an actual pasuk for Zrika, we don't have anything left to teach us. That ain't Machashu Navod Lavod. The idach. Okay, so what would the Shlokish answer to that? He would say, fine, but hashtamiya v'shlomim kanyin. Fine, but it's true. I agree with you. When it comes to kodshe kodshim, you do have those rules that the shchita and the kabbalah have to be in the tzofen, and that you have chataris apnimiyas. But here we're not dealing with a chatas. Here we're dealing with a shlomim. Because where is the whole concept of shloi l'shmoi in connection with what korban is it written? In the connection with the shlomim. No, in connection with the shlomim is when we learned on Daf Dalet the whole limud where we know that shaloi l'shma is that shaloi l'shma is kosher, but it doesn't count for the owner. We said we brought psukim that have to do with the shlomim. Well, a shlomim is kodshim kalim, it can be shechted anywhere in the azara, and the kibul domim can be done anywhere in the azara. There's no such thing as a shlomim atnimim. You never bring the blood of a shlomim into the echel. So therefore, so the kavachomer still works. Madach within a shlomim itself, You have that. We can still do a Sada Shava between Shchita and Kabbalah of a Shlomim, which can be done anywhere in the Azara, and they apply across the board to all Shlomim. And if either of them is done Shalom Shema in their Pasul, the same way we can bring in Zrika. So therefore, again, we don't need to, according to the Shlokit, we didn't need a Pasuk for Zrika. Therefore, if we have a Pasuk that teaches us Zrika, we can learn from that that it has to be Lashman. We can learn from that that Ein Machash from Avod to Avod, that it has to be only if the Machshava was within Zrika itself, not if it was within some previous Avod. Okay. Itmar, so now...
Because within
a Shlomim itself, yeah. Itmar.
I mean, you can compare the Shita to the...
Yeah.
To the Olach and the Kabbalah.
Yeah. Itmar, so now we have a discussion among later Amoraim on the same topic. Shachta was mal lishma lizrik dama shalai lishma. Exactly this case again, where you shechted the korban lishma, having in mind that it's going to be, that the blood is going to be sprinkled shalai lishma. Rav Nachman omach sola, rabba omach shera. So Rav Nachman says like Rav Yechanan, that's possible. Rabba says that
it's... anything?
What do you mean for anything? If you hadn't been in mind during the shchita, for any carbon. No, obviously it would be the same rule as shalom lishma by any carbon. By a shlomim or most carbonus, it'll be kosher, but it's not oil levayim. By a chatas or a pesach, it'll be completely possible. So Rabba or Machshera, Rabba says it'll be kosher because he holds like Rish Lakish that ain't machasher ma'avoda ma'avoda. But Hodebe Rabba the Gabbai of Nachman the Kavachomer did Avash. In the end, though, Rava Shita Makabesa says, changed his mind and agreed with Rav Nachman that it's possible on the basis of Rav Ashi's Kavachomer from before. We had a strong Kavachomer. We did not find any way to slog up that Kavachomer. You were saying before, why didn't the Gemara try to bring what the Shlokish would answer to it? Apparently, he doesn't have a way to answer it. Rava couldn't find any way to answer it. So therefore, so that's it. So he agreed with Rav Nachman that
the Gemara chose not to address it.
Apparently, there was really nothing to do with it. So that's it. So therefore, so the halacha ends up being like that. That indeed, machashu na'avoda la'avoda. So you have in mind during the shchita that the zrika is going to be shalom l'shma. Then the korban is whatever happens to a korban shalom l'shma, depending on the type of korban.
And that was the kalachana for you.
From Shinui Bayit.
From
Shinui Bayit. Okay, now we continue with the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer and Ma'afet HaHashem. Rabbi Eliezer said a third carbon that's possible if you do any of the avodas shalom l'shma, besides the chatas of the Pesach, which everybody agrees on. Rabbi Eliezer says also an Hashem. So now let's discuss that. Tanya, we learn in a Braise, the Omer Rabbi Eliezer, I'll bring you a logical reason why it should apply to an Hashem. Chatas ba'achet va'ashem ba'achet. A chatas is brought for various avodas. An Hashem is also brought for various avodas. Most Hashemites, anyway.
We're trying to prove
that an Asham, if it's shechted, Shalai Lishma, or any of the Avodas, we're done. Shalai Lishma will be possible. Not just that it won't count for the Bialim, like the Tanakhama said, but that it'll be completely possible. You take it and stop the Avoda right there and burn. So he's saying like this. Let's make a Mamatsinu. Let's make a Binyanah. A Chatas is brought for a Chet, it's brought for an Avera. But Asham for a Chet. And an Asham is also brought for certain Averas.
What's the difference in that?
The difference is that there, first of all, there's different types of averus they're brought for. Chatas, as we've learned all this time, is brought for something that involves koris. That would involve koris maybe. An asham is brought for certain specific averus. Asham zelos, asham meilos, shir chacharuka, but there's no koris involved in any of those. The animal is different. A chatas is for most people the female sheep or a female goat. An asham, most types of ashamas are a ram, usually within its second year. as opposed to a chatas, which is a female sheep or a female goat within its first year. For Kohen of the year, that's a different case. Oh, no, an Asham is not completely burnt. An Asham, in that sense, an Ola is completely burnt. And as far as them being eaten, they're the same. The Chatas and the Asham, both parts are burnt on the Mizbeach and the rest are carried to meat. But there's also a difference, again, as far as what type of animal. An Asham also, and we'll discuss this on Amud Beis, an Asham sometimes has a certain fixed value. There are certain cases, for example, for Zelos and Me'ilos, where the Torah tells us that the Asham has to be an animal worth X amount, worth 2 Sloyim.
It's always a male?
An Asham is always a male. An Asham is always a male. A Chatas is always a female for a commoner, except for a king, right?
Right.
Why is it? I don't know. I'd have to look. I'd have to, the only one usually... Basically, most
of the... Chatas should be... Chatas So all the others that are chayav karet, so they should be a male, shouldn't they?
Maybe, but the fact is, the Torah says not. Okay, I mean, the fact is that the Rishonim in general don't deal with the question of why each particular korban is supposed to be the type of animal that it is, or the number of animals, or whatever. In fact, there's a kasha, basically. The Rambam, for example, in Moreh Nevuchim, is typical of that. He writes, I can give you a logical reason behind the concept of korbanos. However, when you get into, specifically, why is this korban a bull, and that one a sheep, and this one within its first year, and this one in its second year, etc., he says there's no sense in asking and trying to figure out the reasons behind it. And if this korban was supposed to be a goat instead of a sheep, then you'd be asking why a goat. So whatever it is, it's just that's how it is. There's a cause of that. The only one I know of who really deals with this in any details or Shamshon Kolver, he tries to give symbolic explanations for all the different korbanos, why this one is a male and that one is a female and this one and whatever. I don't remember what he says as far as a chatas, why dafka a female. Whatever it is, them's the fact. So a chatas is a female sheep or a female goat within its first year, and asham is generally a ram within its second year, so as a male. Also, an asham sometimes has to have a certain fixed value. Some certain kinds of asham have to be worth at least 2 sloyim. If you can't find one for that price, then the korban is not kosher. And also, there's a difference as far as how the blood is applied to the mizbeach. A chatas, what? There's a chatas. As the Torah says by Zelus, by Me'ilus, that the korban has to be the kesef shkolim. And the Gemara actually discusses the Gemara
meaning two
shkolim means 2 sloyim. Yeah. The Gemara discusses that in Krisus or something. What happens if you can't find any available for that price? Well, then you can't put in the korban. If nobody's selling them for at least that price, everybody's selling them for much less than that, then okay, it doesn't work. More could be fine, I think. Yeah, I don't remember. We'll learn about it in Krisus, I think, right? But anyway, the point is. And another difference between a chatas and an asham, a chatas, the blood is daubed on the four corners of the mizbeach. So the kohen, all of a kevish upon a pleasure, that he goes one on each corner, he dips his finger in, and then smears it on each of the four corners, on the top part of the mizbeach. As opposed to an asham, the blood is done, shayim shayin arba, like with most korbanos, one on one corner, which goes on two sides, and then the catty corner to that to get the other two sides.
Diagonally,
yeah. Okay.
So there's just two corners for an asham.
Right. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer is saying, getting back to our Gemara, chatas ba'achet va'asham ba'achet. The fact is, though, the bottom line is a chatas comes for certain kinds of averus, and asham also comes for certain kinds of averus. Therefore, we should make a comparison. Machatas shalad shema psula, asham shalad shema psula. So the same thing as a chatas
is
also shalad. That's what we're going to discuss. That first we're going to go through the braisa. Then first we're going to go through the braisa, the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. Then we're going to start analyzing it. So hold your horses. Okay. So, ma chatas shalei l'shma psula. So just like a chatas is possible shalei l'shma, ach asham shalei l'shma psula, the same way an asham is possible shalei l'shma. Amar Rabbi Yeshua loy. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't make such an argument. Ima marta b'chatas, you can say that there's a special din that applies to a chatas, shekein dama l'mayla, because unlike most korbanos, the blood of a chatas is specifically applied to the top half of the mizbeach. So Rashi explains over here, we'll learn in more detail later on in Perek Ezer v'Kayman, that you had In the Mishkan, they had a netting, that a copper netting surrounding the middle of the mizbeach, and one edge of that netting marked the spot that was exactly halfway up the mizbeach. In the mizbeach and the mizbeach, instead, they had a red line painted around the middle of the mizbeach, and that red line marked off. You have the top half of the mizbeach, you have the bottom half. Certain korbanos, the blood dafka has to go on the top half. Certain korbanos, the blood dafka has to go on the bottom half. And if you switch them, then it's possible. A chatas, the red line was along the middle of the mizbeach, around the middle of the mizbeach. On each wall, 29 tefachim from the bottom of the mizbeach. We'll learn later on, or in Ezer v'Kayman, we'll learn about the exact dimensions of the mizbeach and all. So. Okay, anyway, the point is that a chatas is special in that the blood goes on the top half of the mizbeach. What you actually have is, so Rashi points out like this, you have the sort of a reversing thing going on over here between animal korbanos and bird korbanos. Among animal korbanos, an oila and most other korbanos, the blood goes on the bottom half of the mizbeach. A chatas of animals, the blood goes on the top. With birds, it's the other way around. A bird korban, an oila goes on the top half, a chatas goes on the bottom half. So it's exactly switched around between animals and birds. Again, what the reasons for it are, a chatas of an animal is the top, a chatas of a bird is the bottom, an oila of an animal is the bottom, an oila of a bird is the top. So again, Rav Hirsch has long explanations about it, but I saw also a cute vote about it from Chozim Lublin. He says, the vote is like this. Who usually brings an animal carbon? A rich person. So if he's bringing an olas and a dava, it's like, big deal. Okay, he's a rich person. Sure, of course, he's bringing in a dava. So we leave it, we relegate it to the bottom half of his bath. Fine, it's like, so to speak, not that important. But if a chassas, a rich person, is ready to admit, I did wrong, half of the carbon, let's honor that. Let's put that on the top half of his bath, where it's like public in public view of everybody. On the other hand, he says, well, a poor person is usually the one who will bring a bird. So with him, it's the other way around. He brings a chassas, okay, a poor person usually feels humble and feels bad about his avedas. Fine, that can go on the bottom half of his day. It's nothing unusual. That he's being willing to be menadir, that he's going to voluntarily bring an oila when he has so little money of his own. Let's honor that and put it on the top half of his day. Okay, anyway, it's a bark. Anyway, okay. Be that as it may, so Rabbi Yeshua points out to Rabbi Eliezer that a chassas is different. She came domo lamayla, because the blood goes on the top half of his bath, unlike all other animal korbanos. For a chassas of any kind, chela, dam, abedazora, shabbos, whatever.
Anything
where a person brings a regular chassas, yeah. Omo Rabbi Eliezer, Pesach is there. So Rabbi Eliezer answers, okay, I'll prove it to you. On the other hand, look at the korban Pesach. Shadomi lamasa, the korban Pesach is like most korbanos, the blood goes on the bottom half of the mizbeach. And yet, if you check the korban Pesach, so you see, it doesn't depend which half of the mizbeach it goes on. So it doesn't matter. Yes, an osham is like a Pesach in that regard, but so what? It can be just like a Pesach and be posel shalo l'shmei. So Rabbi Yeshua answers, okay, but how can you prove from a Pesach? A Pesach is special, it has a fixed time. You bring it dafka erev Pesach afternoon, no other time. So therefore, maybe because of that, there's a chumrah on it that shalo l'shmo is possible. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, but prove again from a chassas, because a chassas doesn't have a fixed time, and yet it's possible shalo l'shmo. Rabbi Yeshua tells him, chayzani chalila. Well, then I'm going back to where I was before. Now, of course, the question is, what do you mean? If Rabbi Eliezer has a proof of a Pesach and a Chassas together, then he has a Ma'asad, he has a Sadashova. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua accept that Sadashova? We'll get to when we get into the analysis of the Brayta. But first, again, we're going to go through the Brayta as written. So that one's off. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have a proof from that it's similar to a Chassas, because you can argue it's not similar to a Chassas. One is Lamaila, one is Lamasa. It's not similar to a Pesach either, because a Pesach is Kavur is Manan and Osham is Manan. So now Rabbi Eliezer comes and says, I'll bring another proof for my svara, for my deya, that an osham is possible shalei b'shma. It's like, chassas nemer hi ba hi b'shchita. By the chassas, it says the word hi in connection with the shchita. It says chassas hi. Who, actually, whatever. So therefore, we learn hi l'shma p'sheira shalei b'shma p'sula. So we learn, therefore, that only if it was done l'shma is it kosher. If it was done shalei l'shma, then it's possible.
The extra heat.
Pesach nemar by hu bezvicha. The same thing by the korban Pesach. It says hu in connection with the shechting. Therefore, again, hu l'shma kosher shalei l'shma possible. Therefore, again, the same din applies to the korban Pesach. It has to be l'shma, and if not, it's possible. Well, in that case, af osham nemar by hu. By the osham, it also says the word hu. Therefore, logically, we should say hu l'shma kosher shalei l'shma possible. However, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua said no, because there's a difference where it says the word he or who, which we discussed the other day in the Gemara. Chatas nema b'hi b'shchita. By the chatas, it says the word he in connection with the shchita. It says that v'shachat ois v'chatas, chatas he, whatever the exact lashon is. So therefore, it's in connection with the shchita. So therefore, he l'shmak sheir, shalai l'shmak stola. So therefore, yes, you can understand from that it means that the shchita and all the other avodas, as we said before, have to be l'shma, and if it's shalai l'shma, then it's no good. The same thing, Pesach nema by hu l'bezvicha. The same thing about the Pesach, it says the word hu in connection with the shechting. Ba'amartem zevach Pesach hu l'ashem. So again, hu l'shma kasher, shalai l'shma posel. Abel osham, but, says Rabbi Yeshua, the osham, boy nema by hu. Where does it say the word who in connection with the osham? Lo nema by who elal achrak toras emurim. It only says the word who in connection with it after the emurim have been brought on the mizbeach. It says you bring the chaylev, you burn the chaylev on the mizbeach. Ishe l'Hashem is a fire offering to Hashem. Osham who it is an osham. So that's after. That's long after the shechita. That's after all the four avodas have been done. And the fact is, even if a korban didn't have the fat burnt on the mizbeach, it's already kosher, because all you need for it to be kosher is the four avodas. Everything else after that is supposed to be done with mitzvah, but it's not active. So it's no proof. Just because it says hu by an osham doesn't mean that it means it's shalai l'shma apostle, because it says hu in a different context. So that slogs up that. However, Omalei Rabbi Eliezer, but then Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, okay, I'll bring a different proof. After all, you have a pasuk that says, as with the chatas, so is with the osham. In context, the pasuk is mentioning that both of them the kohenim eat. But the point is that the pasuk is making a hekesh. Ma chatas shalei shmei pasul, ach osham shalei shmei pasul. So just like a chatas is pasul to shalei shmei, so an osham. And ein meshivin ala hekesh. Kavachomers and other and mamasinus and whatever we can slog up. A hekesh, as we said, you can't slog up. So if you have a hekesh, then that's it. Now we have to figure out later on, we're going to discuss, so what is Rabbi Yeshua and the other Chachamim, what do they do with the hekesh? We'll deal with that later, but for the moment, Rabbi Eliezer has a very strong point. He has a hekesh. So now at this point we'll start analyzing the braisa. Omar, so we said that after the first part of the discussion, Omar Rabbi Yeshua Chizrani Chalula, so Rabbi Yeshua says, we go back to where we were before. You tried to bring a proof from Chatas, and I say you can't prove from Chatas because Zama Lamaila. You tried to bring a proof from Pesach, and I'm saying Pesach not because Mana Kavua. So you're saying I'll go back to Chatas. So I say Chizrani Chalula. I say we go back to where we were before. Again, you can't prove from a Chatas. So the question is, why not? In that case, Rabbi Eliezer has a tzad hashava. He should argue that a chatas and a pesach, we see each one has a feature that the other one doesn't, but but both of them are pasul shalei lishma. So therefore, we should also be able to bring in an osham from that.
What's the tzad
hashava? Tzad hashava is that we would say that both of them that we would say actually Rashi points out there's even more of a similarity between them. A pesach and a chatas are both something that can only be eaten for one day, on the day the korban is brought, and the following night. Well, actually, the Pesach itself actually can't be eaten during the day. But the point is, unlike a shlomim and a bechor and a meiser, which can be eaten the next day as well, a chatas, an osham, and a Pesach can only be eaten on the night during the day of the korban and the night following. So therefore, there's more of a similarity between them. If we're going to say that Pesach and chatas are the chatas is dama lamayla. The Pesach is Zmane Kavua. Each one has a feature that the other one doesn't. But what do they both have in common? They're both Kodshim. They're both Kodshim that cannot be eaten the next day. They can only be eaten that night. Therefore, we should be able to bring in the Oshim as well. Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua accept that? The answer is, Mishum De'ikulim Nifrach, yes, but you could slog up that Tzad HaShava by saying, Mala Tzad HaShava Shebehem Shekein Yesh Ben Tzad Kodesh. Yes, that's true, but you have another similarity between a Chatas and a Pesach. Namely, both of them involve Kodesh. What do we mean they both involve Kodesh? A chatas is brought for having been over an Aveiro that would be Chayv Kodesh for Mezid. A Korban Pesach, if a person doesn't bring the Korban Pesach in its proper time, then he's Chayv Kodesh. So there's something involving Kodesh with both a chatas and an Osham, or with both a chatas and a Pesach. An Osham, there's nothing involving Kodesh with it. And now actually, Tosfos points out there is a type of Osham that has to do with Kodesh, namely an Osham Tolui. Because what's an Osham Toler? The person did something, he had two pieces of fat in front of him, one's chaylev, one's truman, and he ate one of them, and he's not sure which one he ate. Then he brings an Osham Toler. So there you have an example of an Osham that has to do with Kares. On the other hand, though, Tosfos says the difference is that, strictly speaking, the Osham Toler is not the only thing you bring for that. It is a Sopik, but that's a Sopik where the Torah tells you to bring a Korban. However, that Korban is not meant to be the last word on it. That Korban is really only meant to protect him from Yisurim until he finds out. If he ever finds out that what he really ate is Chalev, he's still going to have to bring a Chafetz. So the Osham itself fundamentally doesn't have so much to do with Kares. Let's say he finds out. Let's say, for example, somebody comes in later and tells him, you should know the piece on the right was Chalev, and he Chafetz, you know what, that was the one that I ate. It could happen. Okay, maybe not with Chalev. You could have other examples. You know, the Mishnah and Krisus, the Mishnah and the Gemara and Krisus brings other examples. You can have also, you know, Ishtev Achoyte Ime Babayis. You know, he had his wife and his sister in the house, and he had relations with one of them, and he's not sure with which one. So again, later on, he could find out. One of them could tell him, you know. Okay. Anyway, the point is it is possible to find out eventually. Anyway, Tosfos also points out another thing the Gemara could have mentioned, another difference between the Chatas and the Pesach on the one hand and the Osham on the other, is the Chatas can be, there's such a thing as a Chatas of the Tzibur. The Korban Pesach, in a certain sense, is a Korban Tzibur, because even though it's brought individually by every person, it's brought by the whole Jewish people at the same time. As opposed to an Osham, you never have an Osham of the Tzibur. So that's another difference. A Chatas, you have such a thing as a Chatas of the Tzibur. We learned in Horius. We have Chatas of the Tzibur, yeah. Okay, for all day, yeah. All right. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua cannot accept the Tzad HaShava of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Let's continue. The Braita had said, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua Loi. So we said that Rabbi Yeshua had said to Rabbi Eliezer, no, you can't prove from a chatas. Imamarta b'chatas reken domo l'mayla. You say by a chatas, but a chatas is a special case because the blood is put on the top half of the mizbeach. So the question is, why is Rabbi Yeshua mentioning that specific detail? Let him mention a different detail that applies uniquely to a chatas. V'lei malei, why didn't he tell him, Loi imamarta b'chatas reken nichnas domo l'fnai v'lefnim? You have a chatas is unusual, unlike most korbanos, that you have cases where chatas, where the blood of it has to be brought into the heichal. For example, on Yom Kippur, as opposed to, again, an osham, you never have an osham where the blood is supposed to be brought into the heichal. Okay, the answer is b'chatois chitzonis, b'chatonis hachitzois, kamrinan. Fine, but we're talking about regular, run-of-the-mill chatois. Not specifically the Yom Kippur one. Rabbi Eliezer is not
unique.
Yeah, Rabbi Eliezer can say, fine, the chatas of Yom Kippur is a special case. I'm not learning from that. But I'm learning from the regular chatas
right.
That happens throughout the year. Okay,
the chatas of Yom Kippur is called Tzibur.
That's true, but the point is it's a chatas.
Fine,
but that's neither here nor there. And the truth is actually the power of the Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur is actually in a certain sense a korban yachad. It's a korban that's mainly, in fact, we learned the other day about Mikufia, we learned the other day about Kapara Mikufia, the Gemara talks about in Yuma, that actually the Kapara for all the other Kohenim is also Mikufia. Really, fundamentally, it belongs to the Kohen Gadol. He brings it out of his own money.
Right.
But all the other Kohenim are given a share in it.
So
it's sort of like half Sibur, half Yachid. Okay. Fine. What about, you could argue, Rabbi Yeshua could have brought another point in which a chatos is different than an osham. Shem nichnas domal of naival of nim sula. Yes, but you have another rule. In connection with a regular chatos, the Torah tells us that any chatos where the blood of it is brought into the heichel, then such a chatos has to be burnt. And that doesn't just apply to the case where the chatos where the blood is supposed to be brought into the heichel, like on Yom Kippur. It applies a regular run-of-the-mill chatos. If a Kohen took the blood of the chatas and brought it into the heichel, that chatas becomes posel and has to be taken out and burned.
By mistake.
It doesn't matter by mistake, on purpose, whatever it is, it was brought in. We're going to deal with the details of those dinim later on in the Masechta, 7th or 8th
never be brought in.
So a chatas, either the blood is kept outside the heichel and then it's treated like a normal chatas, or the blood is brought into the heichel, whether it's that you're supposed to, like the chatas of your kippur, or whether it's that you weren't supposed to. Either way, so the chatas are taken outside the machna and burned.
Even if it was supposed to.
If it was supposed to, then that's how the mitzvah is. For example, the power and the sword of Yom Kippur is the Torah tells us after it's in this week's parasha. You bring in the blood, you sprinkle it inside the heichal, you pour the rest of the blood on the base of the mizbeach, and the actual body of the animal, the sword of it, sword and everything is taken outside the machna and burned. That's how it's supposed to be.
That means
outside of Yerushalayim, yeah. You bring the blood into the heichal to sprinkle it over there. We're confusing two different cases over here. You have what are called chatois apnimius, the kind that we mentioned in the first two mishnayos of Ezer Mekayman, where we say that the blood is supposed to be brought in there, it's supposed to be sprinkled bein abadim, b'al-chatoris, b'al-mizbahazahav, in the heichol, and in the case of Yom Kippur, also the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Afterwards, what do we do? Elu v'elu, nisturach and beis hadoshim. We take them and burn them in the beis hadoshim outside Yerushalayim. That's how it's supposed to be done. So they found 100 odd years ago when they were building in the neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, they found in the near Mea Sharim, the neighborhood that afterwards called Beis Yisrael, they found there the dirt over there was very unusual. It was like, it turned out, they did chemical analysis on it, and they found that it was ancient ashes. They figured out that was the Beis Hadesh, and that was the place where they put all the ashes from the Mizbeach, whenever they cleared off the Mizbeach of ashes, and this is also where they burnt the pyre and the sorrow. So you're talking an area northeast of the old city. The fact is not. Once the mitzvah has been done with it, but no, not really. Okay. Anyway, they found glorious New Year's line. I don't know how many. Well, maybe. But
the
whole
taken out and burnt outside.
Yeah, but that's how it is. But anyway, then you have the other case, which is a person must say comes one day to the Bismi Fish, bring a chatas because he ate chaylev or broke Shabbos or what have you, and they're bringing it as a regular chatas. If at some point a kohen takes that blood and walks into the heichel, that chatas becomes possible, and you have to burn it. The point is, now that din applies only to a chatas. So therefore, let Rabbi Yeshua say to Rabbi Yehuda, you're trying to prove from a chatas that just like a chatas is possible shalai l'shmoy, and osham is possible shalai l'shmoy, but I'll mention to you, on the other hand, a chatas has the chumrah of if the blood is brought into the heichel, it makes it possible. We don't find that by an osham. Why doesn't he mention that? The answer is, it's literally as af Asham. As a matter of fact, literally as it does hold, the same thing applies to Asham. By the same hekish that he said before, kachatas kasham. Whatever rules apply to a kachatas applies to an Asham. So that wouldn't be a good argument. Okay, what about Rabbi Yeshua could have argued Jekein Mechaperet Al-Chayvei Krisus? You could have argued that a chatas is special over an Asham in that it's Mechaper for a person who did something that makes him Chayv Kares.
That's what we said.
Yeah. The answer is, okay, Mechatas Teshmiyat Akur. Okay, but Rabbi Eliezer could answer him, okay. So I'll prove instead from the chatas of Shmiyat Akur, of Shavuot Eidos, the case that we had in Shavuot, where a person says to the other, I know you know Eidos on my behalf. Come say Eidos for me and base him. He swears falsely. He doesn't know Eidos. Later on, he brings a chatas. He brings a korban over the yared. That's not for an issur that's chayv kares. There's no kares for a false shvur. It's a very severe thing. We learned over there that we had over there the whole thing that basin scares the person, that basin warns the person and tells them the whole world shuffled, the whole world shook when Hashem said lo yisisa Hashem Hashem atah ashav, and there's severe punishment, but there's no kares, right?
Shvur
shav. Okay. What about Shekhen Tuna Agumatonis? What about... Because we know the Torah doesn't say this card. Unless the Torah has to say this card. Okay, what about Rabbi Shul could have argued Shekhen Tuna Agumatonis? Why couldn't he have argued that a Chathos is more special over an Asham because it needs to be applied in four places on the Mizbeach, as four individual, four, as opposed to an Asham that's a string. The answer is, could it be Shmuel? Maybe Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Shmuel. Dama, kol adamim tona av matarit. Rabbi Shmuel says that actually, no. This that we say every day in davening, daman ton shtei matarit shtei nabba, he actually holds. I agree they have to be on opposite, on diagonal corners of the mizbeach. However, I do not hold that you sprinkle only once and twice, and that goes around all four corners. I hold you need individually on this, and on this. You actually need four. Four shots.
Four shots, but two.
Four shots. Right. Okay, what about Shekhen Tona Al-Abakrona? It's fine, but still Rabbi Yeshua could argue, though, that on the other hand, the Chathos is unique, that it has to be done on all four corners of the Mizbeach, as opposed to, even if you go according to Rabbi Shmuel, all you need is two corners need to have. The two diagonal corners opposite each other need blood. Fine, it's in separate, four separate sprinklings, but you still don't have. In other words, you have... Two diagonal corners means you have this corner and you have this corner. Later on in the Masechta, when we get to Ezra Mekoyman and we deal with the whole matter of how we know of Shrein Atron Shrein Abba, the point is, Pasuk mentions over there that it has to be, we learn from a Pasuk over there that it has to be that the Matonites are done in a place that has a Yisoid underneath it. Now the Yisoid of the Mizbeach did not go around all four sides. It only went around two sides of the Mizbeach and then it stuck out a little here and a little here. So what was it? It was northeast and southwest are the two corners that had a yisod. If the heichal was over here and the mizbeach was over here, then yes, this corner and this corner that had the yisod. This corner had no yisod. Therefore, even Rabbi Shmuel, who says so according to everybody else who says shtei matran shtei nabba, means you go to this corner and you do like this, and then you walk around to this corner and you do like this. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you do it individually, it just means you do here, 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 and here. He still agrees that this corner doesn't get any blood from an ashram, and this corner doesn't get any blood from an ashram. So Rabbi Yeshua could have argued that a chatas is unique, unlike an asham, because you need to actually go to each corner individually and smear blood on it with your finger, as opposed to an asham you don't. It does not all four corners get.
And he didn't.
But he didn't mention that. Why not?
Why not?
Because the Gemara is apparently assuming that the idea is because that the fact that a chatas has blood brought on the top half of the mizbeach. Okay, it is something unique about a chatas, but it's a weak thing to say that because of that, you should say that therefore Shalai Lashma is fossil, that therefore it has the extra korban of Shalai Lashma being fossil, just because it has a different part of the mizbeach than most korbanos. But if you argue this thing, that it needs all four corners individually, you see the Torah is more machmer, that you have more that you have to accomplish by a chatas than you do by an asham, so why isn't Rabbi Yeshua use that as an argument? Okay, so the Gemara answers that. Really, Taimeth knew, according to your own Svara, that you're asking. according to you, the Amorah, who's bringing these questions on why Rabbi Yeshua didn't use any of these things. I can bring you other examples. Ha'ika etva with the chatas, you apply the blood with your finger, as opposed to the other korbanos where you strip it from the basin. Ha'ika keren, you have the fact. You take the basin of blood, but the difference is with the chatzis, you dip your finger in and then smear it on the first corner, walk over to the next corner, dip your finger in, smear it on the next one, etc. The ashram, you take the basin itself and you go like this. You hold the basin, but you throw the blood from the basin towards the wall of the mezbeach. No.
But you have to be careful because you can throw the whole blood, you won't have enough to the other quarter.
Obviously, you have to be careful, yeah. Kohenim is the name. But we'll learn also later in the Masechta that Yevit, if you only did one Matan out of there, you're say, yeah. So a chatas, you have more details that have to be done. You definitely need to dip in your finger. Maybe it's more respectful, I don't know. Yeah, okay, maybe. You have the fact that the chatas, the blood, he didn't mention any of these. You have the fact that by a chatas, it has to dafka go on the corners of the mezbeah, meaning not just along the In other words, you have the height of the mezbeah, you have the edge of the mezbeah, but it can't be. Dafka has to be on the keren, on the little thing that sticks up at the top of the mezbeah. Not the crown per se, but you have these little. Each of the kronis was a cube, an amma by an amma by an amma that stuck out from the top corner from the top of the mezbeah, and it has to. The blood of the chatas has to dafka though go there. Horika chuda, and you also have the fact that when it comes to a chatas, the blood has to dafka go on the actual corner, not just like close to the corner, but on the actual sharp corner itself, the actual edge, right?
It has to be the edge of the keren.
Yes. Okay, strictly speaking, these are actually two different opinions. We're going to get to later on in the Masechta. Again, we'll deal with those details. But the point is, you have all those details also. You could have asked why Rabbi Yeshua didn't mention them. No, very simple. You could say that Rabbi Yeshua just picked one of these things. You could answer to all these things. You don't have to be doichik and say that we're talking specifically about chatzoris hachatzonis and bringing from chatzos of shmiyat hakol, etc. You could say yes. Rabbi Yeshua had a long list of things, which two or three or more things in which a chatzos is different than an oshem. He picked one of them. And you take one of them to prove the point is that's enough to schlug up the binyan out from Sabbath. Okay. Fine, let's continue with the Bryce. The Omamar, Omalai Rabbi Yeshua Loi, we said Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yezer that no, you're trying to prove from the Chatas where the dam goes Lamaila. So you're trying to prove from that to an Osham where the dam goes Lamasa. So the question is, Rabbi Yeshua is saying to Rabbi Yezer, you're telling me by a chatas, where it's possible shalav shema, but the chatas has a unique feature that the blood goes lamaila, whereas in osham the blood goes lamasa, so they're not comparable. Well, the question is, given that in the end we say Rabbi Yezer is learning a chatas from an osham, learning an osham from a chatas, kachatas kosham, leimel Rabbi Yezer, osham nami dome lamaila. Let Rabbi Yezer say, you know what, as a matter of fact, I hold that an osham is also similar to a chatas in that regard. The blood goes on the top half of the mezbeach. Who says not? The answer is Omer Abaya Osham Domei Lamaila LeMosis Amrit. No, you can't possibly say. Nobody can hold, even Rabbi Yezer, that the blood of an Osham goes on the top half of the mezbeach. And why is that? Kavachomer me'Oila, because we can make a Kavachomer considering from an Oila. Uma Oila sheikolo ma dach an Oila which is completely burnt on the mezbeach. So therefore, obviously, it's a so to speak more holy type of carbon. And yet, Domei Lamaila, yet the blood of it goes on the lower half of the mezbeach. Osham, she'ene kolol, an osham where the whole thing is not even burnt down in the day, so it's like a lesser level of kedusha. Kosh, loy koshkin, how much more so that it shouldn't be on the top? So even Rabbi Eliezer would have to agree with that. Therefore, he can't, even though he has his hekish of kachatas to osham, he still can't say that means that the blood of an osham goes in the same place as the blood of a chatas.
That's the only exception to his, to his fruit.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, mawa ola shken enema chaperes? Okay, but you can slog up that kabachomer because you can say an ola does not really accomplish kapara. Okay, it accomplishes a certain limited kapara, as we said before, for esses, for lavanitic or esses, but it's not a full-fledged kapara like for a chatas where the person was over on something that's high kares, or by an osham where he was over on gzela or meila or other serious affairs.
And the ola is
not machaper in that sense. Yeah. It's more like a present, yeah. Okay, the answer is chatas ha'oif tochiyach. Okay, you can prove instead from chatas ha'oif. The chatas ha'oif, again, is the opposite of a chatas behema, in that the blood goes on the bottom half of the mezbeach. So there you have, even by a chatas ha'oif, they were being brought for an avera, most of the time, that is, and the blood goes on the bottom half of the mezbeach. So therefore, how much more so, an osham shouldn't be going on the top half. Okay, you could argue mal chatas ha'oif shkein and min zevach. Fine, but you could slog that off. You could say, on the other hand, a chatas ha'oif is different. It's not a korban, that's shechted. Bird korbanos on shechted melikah is done to them instead. So maybe they're in a different category of their own. Okay, but you're back to Ola Tessia. You're back to our food from Ola instead, where an Ola is min zevach, and it is shechted, and yet the blood goes on the bottom half. So, lo v'izeh, k'rizeh, lo v'izeh, k'rizeh. So, an Ola and a chasa for the Ola have, each one have the unique feature. Hatzada shavah shebehen, but what do they have in common? Shein kod shei kodshim. Both an Ola of an animal and a chasa of a bird are both kod shei kodshim. V'damon l'mata, and their blood goes on the bottom half of the mezeach. Afani of the Osham. So then by that Sada Shava, we can also bring in the Osham. True Kodesh Kodoshim, it's also a Kodesh Kodoshim, the Jami Lamata, and therefore logically the blood should be on the bottom. So by the Chachas, the Torah spells out it should be on top. So fine, that's different. But even Rabbi Eliezer is going to have to agree that we can't bring in the Osham through his Hekesh. Because we have it, because that's opposed by this Kavachot. Since we said that the Ola and the Chachas of a bird both take place from Osham. Okay. Amale Ravim Kaziki Ravashi, however, Ravim Kaziki after Ravashi, the Lifrech, fine, but we can slug that Kavachaima up as follows. Mala Sada Shava Shabam Shkain Ein Lahem Kitzba. Yes, but you can say that there's another Sada Shava between an Ola of an animal and a Chasas of a bird. Neither one is there any fixed value that they have to be. No matter how, it doesn't matter whether you were able to buy an animal for an Ola for a small amount or a large amount. Same thing with a bird for a chasa. Doesn't matter. The Torah doesn't say that it has to have any particular value. How can you bring in an osham using such a kavachomer, using such a tzada shava, where an osham has a special feature, as we were saying before, that it has a certain fixed value by certain ashamas. The Torah tells us that it has to be the kesef shkolim, that it has to be worth at least two sloyim. So that's different. So that doesn't work. Ela Heiner time is the Rabbi Yezer. So no, why would Rabbi Yezer have to agree that the blood of an Asham doesn't go on the top half? The reason is Amakra Koyan Machaset Oisa. The pasuk says in the case of the Chatas, the Koyan who performs the Chatas. Machaset literally means who cleanses, so it means who performs the avodah that of the Chatas that accomplishes kapara, namely that he puts the blood on the mezeach. And the Oisa is a mute. Oisa Dama Lamaila, Vein Dama Shalacha Lamaila. Only the blood of a Chatas goes on the top half. Nothing else. So not an Osham, even though we have the Hekesh from Chachas Osham, but this Oisa comes to oppose that. Okay, so the question is, if you're going to learn Oisa like that, Chachas Osham means just as with the Chachas, so is the Osham. That's the normal way in Tanakh when you want to compare two things together is you put a kaf before both of them. For example, you have an example. You have what's his name? Achav is trying to convince Yehoshaphat to go to war with him against Aram. So Yehoshaphat says, "Sure, I'll go with you." Kamoni, kamoicha, ke'ami, ke'amecha, kisusai, kisusecha. Meaning, I'm exactly like you. My people are exactly like your people. My horses are exactly like your horses. Yes, we're in this together. So the same way, kachatas to osham means there's a similarity between the chatas and the osham. The similarity, that's we said before, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, there's a similarity in that both of them, if they're Dram Shalom, the Shman, then they're possible. And we said before, as we were going... There's no similarity in those, because each one, the Pasuk, spells out different rules for those. However, in things where the Torah doesn't spell out rules, then we can say that there's a similarity between them, namely Shalom, the Shman. So, yeah. And also, we said before, as far as Rabbi Eliezer would also hold, as far as the din of the blood of a chatas being brought into the heichel, that applies to an asham as well. Again, based on the same hekesh. Okay, but over here, so over here though, we have a koyin machate oisa. So the oisa is a mute that opposes that hekesh that says that when it comes to the application of the blood, it's different. The chatas goes l'mayla, the asham does not. Okay, the question is, Yehochi chatas nami. So in that case, then you should argue the same thing. You should say, Nema oysa l'shma k'sheira shalo l'shma p'sula. You should argue that only the chatas is kosher if it's l'shma, but p'sul if it's shalo l'shma. But you should say, based on that same mirut of oysa, you should say other korbanos, including the asham, should in fact be kosher. Which, according to the Chachamim, it is, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not. The whole point is, Rabbi Eliezer is trying to say that the same din of Shalom Lishma applies to an Asham. Okay, the answer is, Ahu Oysa Labdavka. Okay, but you have to answer that Oysa, in any case, is obviously not meant to be exclusive to Hashir Pesach, because after all, we know that the same din applies to the Pesach as well. By the Pesach, you have a special limud, we said before, from the word who. But the word from the other limudim that we said before. But the point is that just because the Torah says oisa by the chatos, you can't say that it means only the chatos is the only korban that's possible for the Shema, because we know there's also the Pesach. So obviously the oisa over there is not coming to be mamayit other korbanos from Shalom the Shema. But it can be mamayit other korbanos from being on the top half of the Mizbeach.
So the Shema and Mizbeach are two different things.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Hachanami lav dafka dashir oila soif. Okay, but you could argue in that case, then you also have the oisa is not exclusive either, because we find an oila soif, the blood is also put on the top half of the bath. So a chasas behema is not the only type of korban. So in other words, again, even though it says oisa, obviously it's not exclusive, because you do have a different type of korban, namely oila soif, where the blood goes on the top half. So therefore, so that oisa is not exclusive either.
One second, the oisa has been two areas or just one?
The oisa by the chatas means, we said before, that oisa by the chatas means only the chatas does the blood go on this top half of the mizbeach, no other korban. But now we're saying we find an oila soif, the same thing happens. So therefore, you already have an exception. So by the same logic, we can say, okay, so the Torah is not trying to make an exception for an asham either. The Torah is saying that you have a chatas is supposed to be dama lamayla, but we know that also an oila soif dama lamayla. Fine, an asham could maybe also be on the basis of the hekesh. How do you know that not? That's the answer. Bezvicha miyol shayami. Fine, but at least when it comes to korbanos that are shechted, the Torah is not accepting anything. An oila soif, fine. In a special case, because malika instead of zvicha, that's a whole different type of korban. But among the types, yes and no. It actually isn't. It actually isn't in the sense that if the only ones who are allowed to eat something that was shechted by malika are the korban. It's actually not. The Torah makes an exception over there. We'll learn eventually when we get the Menachos later this year, that the Shem will learn actually that you have a pasuk in Yechezkel that says that the Kohenim aren't allowed to eat Nevelo or Terefa, and that was one of the pesukim that made the Chacham wonder, isn't Yechezkel contradicting the Torah? What do you mean only Kohenim can eat Nevelo or Terefa? Nobody can. And the answer is, you have an exception made for the Kohenim that they can eat a Chatas Ha'oif that was killed using Malika. So you would think maybe they're allowed to eat other Nevelos and Shreifas as well. Therefore, Yechezkel on Nevelos. It's called, ordinarily, that would be Nevelos. Yeah, ordinarily, it's not a valid Shreifas.
Except when it's sort of dead.
So that's the point. Because you have that exception, you would think maybe the whole concept of shchita doesn't apply to them. Maybe they're allowed to eat other animals and birds that are not shechted properly. And therefore, Yechezkel has to come and stress that not.
Okay.
It does have to be very sharp, but nevertheless, an attached nail is possible for shchita. When we get the cholin, that's the shem, we'll talk about what kind of things are kosher and not kosher. However long it needs to be, that's not the point. The point is, something attached to its original place of growth is possible for shchita. If you were to take, for example, if you had a reed attached to the ground, like a bamboo attached to the ground, for example, and sharpen it and use it for shchita, it would be possible. So you're also, yeah. Okay. All right, let's finish up over here. Okay. The Iboisema, or another possibility, you could answer, again, for trying to figure out this question about about which korbanos are on the top half and which are on the bottom half, and you're arguing that the chasas seems to be not the only one that's on the top half, because you also have other sides. The Iboisema, another possibility, Hamani Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. You could say that this braisa, that this discussion, goes according to the laws of Rav Shimon. Why are we not mentioning Ola Tois? The Omar, because he says, Hai Makam Lachod, Bahai Makam Lachod. As a matter of fact, he says that it's true, both the Chatas Behema and the Ola Tois take place on the top half of the Mizeach, however, in different places on the top half of the Mizeach. So therefore, we could still say that the Torah is making an exception for the Chatas, that only it has a unique area of the Mizeach reserved only for it. And therefore, we can say nothing, even though you have the oila soif, but that's a different korban, that's a different area on the top. So therefore, when we say oisa could still be a miut, that means only the chatas and no other korban has that spot, and therefore we can't say that it would apply to the asham as well. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, domim atachtonim nitonim mechot asirkur ulamata, the blood that goes on the lower half of the mizeach, means it has to be anywhere from the red line and down, anywhere in the bottom half of the mizeach. Any blood that has to go on the top half of the mizbeach, that has to be above the red line. Rabbi Elazar Shimon says, when does that apply? To an oila soif, it can take place. The blood can be put on the wall of the mizbeach anywhere above the red line. But when it comes to a chatas behema, he asks me, "Ein nasa el al gufa shokerim." The only place the blood can be put is on the actual keren itself, that little one-by-one-by-one thing that sticks up on the top of the mezbeach, not just anywhere in the top half above the red line, but davka on the keren. So therefore, he would say that the chassas is unique in that regard. So according to him, we can say when the Torah says, HaKoren HaMachasit Oisa, means only the chassas, uniquely among all korbanos, has its blood put on the actual keren. Even the Oilas Oif, only on the keren, as opposed to the Oilas Oif, can be anywhere on the top half. And therefore, so it's no proof for those. So therefore, we can still say that the Oisa is a miut, meaning so not the Osham is not put on the top half. So therefore, going back to what we were saying before, the point is that the Rabbi Eliezer cannot argue that the Osham also is Domei Lamaila on the basis of this, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer has to accept that you can't prove anything from Chassas directly to Osham. He holds you can combine together Chassas and Pesach, but Rabbi Yeshua says I can slog that off also because both of them involve Karis.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.